The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, the summer is obviously heating up, and we're all in our summer mode, and people going on vacation and going to the beach, going to the mountains, or going to Disney, or going to wherever. And we come through the primary season in the spring and May, and then everybody kind of hits the summer doldrums. And around here in Wake County, North Carolina, you've got some schools that are in, some schools are out. But a lot of people kind of shut down for the summer, but school is right around the corner, getting back in with the traditional calendar. And right around the corner also, of course, something that we talk about regularly, which you should be thinking about regularly, is the upcoming elections in November. You're like, Steve, that's the November. It's fall. It's summertime. Yeah. But August 1st is Monday. And then August jumps into September, October, and before you know it, the election will be here. And as we've all been getting woke in one way or another the last couple of years, one of the subjects that I hope you've awakened to is what's going on in your local schools. So we had Loudoun County in Virginia and everything that blew up there, and then, of course, COVID and the shutdowns and the masks. And then all of a sudden, all these parents around the country happen to be able to peek in on what's going on with their kids' education. And where you think it's the high school and the middle school or the elementary school of your youth, it isn't. And the days have changed. The times have changed. Control is firmly in the hands of the left. And so I hope now you're becoming more involved, or at least aware of what's going on in your school board here in Wake County, one of the largest school board systems in the country, Raleigh area. We've got big races coming up. It's been controlled by liberal forces for a while, but we have a lot of good conservative candidates and a lot of people that just kind of woke up that have been involved, including Becky Lou Hobbs, who's in the studio with me today. And she's been involved as a parent. She and her husband and their kids in the Wake County school system. But then COVID comes along and you start finding out more. And then the next thing you know, as you said a few minutes ago, Becky, you weren't expecting to be on this side of the glass. Usually you would be in the control room with your husband helping out at church.
Right. I'm used to being in the background helping where nobody sees me.
Yeah. So I want to spend some time sharing how you went from the background to being a candidate. She's running for District 4 here in the Wake County public school system. Very, very, very important. Becky 4, the number 4wake.com is her website. Becky4wake.com. District 4, which is like Eastern Raleigh and parts of Knightdale if you're in the area, you know where that is. But again, a reminder and a challenge to all of you that are outside of my backyard. You have schools in your neck of the woods. You have a school board in your neck of the woods. You should be involved. You should be engaged. And the least of which should be praying for and voting for these candidates coming up in the fall. You got to know who's there, who's in control. But Becky, you obviously switched sides from going from that side of the glass to this side of the glass. So how did that kind of all start for you? Because you've been here and you graduated, what, Cary High School?
I graduated from Cary High School. I hate to admit, before Cary High School had air conditioning, so that's how long it's been. So, you know, my dad retired from the military and moved us here. So I finished out my school career in the Wake County public school system. It's actually soon after the systems merge. It used to be the Raleigh City Schools and the Wake School System merged to the Wake County Public School System.
Yeah.
So,
which is massive. How many schools do we have now in Wake County?
Over 192.
Golly.
And I believe, if our memory serves, we have two new schools opening for the new school year.
Yeah, amazing.
So that'll bring us up to 194.
Massive.
I have no idea how many schools there were back when I was in the system. But, you know, the quality of the education is very different than what is happening that
now.
The kids are getting now.
Right.
You know, there are things that I can distinctly remember at different age levels that my kids know nothing about.
Yeah.
And it's just shocking that it's like, you don't know this about the Revolutionary
some
War.
Some basic things.
You don't know this amendment to the Constitution, and it's just very shocking to me that they're omitting this information, which I would think is very basic.
You would think.
Information. But, you know, that's the purpose of the school system, is to provide a basic education. That's what it says in our laws. That's what it says in our Constitution, state constitution. And the school systems aren't doing that.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of us that are over the age of 40 in one way or another, we look back on our high school. I was explaining that to you on the before we went live, that I went to a huge high school in the suburbs of Chicago. I have no recollection of any kind of wacky stuff. There certainly wasn't anything wacky in terms of like gender ideology that hadn't come out of the closet yet. And sexuality and all that kind of stuff. We had sex ed, but it was like that class that nobody likes to go to. It's uncomfortable, right. Yada, yada. There wasn't – I have no memories of any kind of discernible, wacky liberal agenda.
No, I don't
and
either.
So I think it's easy for us to assume things are still fine because we have some good teachers here and there. But there's a whole system behind the teacher.
Right.
And I think that's where we started to wake up to that over the last few years.
Well, what's a very different right now than it was when you and I were in school is back when you and I were in school, there was the teachers, there was the principals, and there's very little administration and background.
Yeah.
Whereas now the school system, there's 80 positions in the Wake County Public School System that are administrative positions, earn over $100,000 a year.
Each.
So that's over. Some of them, and this includes the superintendent, and she's $320,000.
Oh, yeah. They make
huge
money.
So that's that entire gambit. So you have this entire background of people that aren't involved in the day-to-day education of the kids. And really, they don't have a stake in how well the children perform and what they're being supposed to be provided.
They have a pretty good stake in that six-figure income, though.
Right, exactly.
And so we don't necessarily just have a swamp problem in D.C. The bureaucracy is a problem wherever it exists.
People don't realize it's your local educations that really touch your life much more than what's going on in D.C.
Yeah.
And, yes, there's a ton of things that need to be fixed there, but it's what is going on here in our cities, in our counties, in our state that is going to affect us more.
What happened to you and your family when COVID came along?
Well, like just about everybody, the world stopped. You ended up staying home. We kind of had a two-week vacation.
Yeah. That was nice.
That was nice. And then we got bored. And I work for an agriculture-based company, so we quickly went back at it because that never slowed down.
Stop, yeah.
And so, my husband is in IT work, and he's been remote, and his company kind of switched formats. Remote works fine. So he was able to handle a lot of the three-ring circus that was school that first year. It was a nightmare. He was working at one desk. My daughter was at a desk behind him in elementary school in second grade, trying to figure out how to turn the computer on and having meltdowns when she couldn't figure out how to get on Zoom. And, he's.
And that wasn't an uncommon experience.
No,
that was the common experience.
Right.
Yeah, because they tried to switch everything over. And then the other thing, we'll talk about this when we come back from the break, is what you discovered once your kid's school comes into your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's not homeschooling. This is different.
That's not homeschooling.
But when the Wake County Public School System comes into your house and you get exposed to what's going on there, we'll talk about that. We'll get into the issues that Becky's going to be running on. Becky4wake.com is her website. We'll be right back. Welcome back, boys and girls. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Quiz time. You know, I'm a teacher, so I like to do that every once in a while. Quiz time. Who's on your school board? Do you even know? Do you know who the leader of the school board is? Do you know who the superintendent is? Do you know who's running the school? Do you know who's running your kid's school? Steve, my kids aren't in school anymore. So what? If you call yourself a Christian, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, and you have other kids in that school system, and just because your kids aren't there, or maybe you don't even have kids, again, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, that becomes irrelevant because you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, especially in the educational environment we're in today in the United States of America. And yes, right here in good old North Carolina or down there in South Carolina, up in Virginia, wherever you happen to be listening. It isn't exactly the way it was when we were younglings, and so you have to be engaged, you have to pay attention, because there are children in there who are being led astray in a lot of different ways, not the least of which is just not getting a good basic education. They don't even know basic civics, which is why I teach that. U.S. history has been hijacked, all kinds of subjects. Yes, there are good teachers here and there, And I don't think in some cases, if you've ever watched libs of TikTok, you know there's some teachers out there that are flat out just crazy and shouldn't be teaching, shouldn't really even be around children. But there's a whole system behind them. There's a school board. There's a school system. There's the school union. There's the North Carolina Association of Educators, NCAA, run by two basic Marxists and progressives. And so there's a whole system behind all that. So don't, just because you like your one teacher, don't assume everything's fine, because it's not. That's what Becky Lou Hobbs has figured out over her years of being a mom and having kids in the school system. And she's running for District 4 in the Wake County School Board races this fall. Becky4Wake.com. That's the number. For Becky4Wake.com. Again, Becky, thanks for being here today. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much.
So with COVID happening and then all of a sudden it's chaos at home, and I think just about every family dealt with that. Mm-hmm. With kids coming home, we don't know how to learn online. For right. me as a homeschool family, that was more common for us, but not if you're in the public school system.
Right.
But then also I think one of the things that happened, and I wanted to ask this about your experience, is you started to actually see more about what's going on in the classroom mm-hmm. and what kind of information is coming to your children.
Right, right. So I have three children. And two were in middle school. One was in elementary school. Of course, I just spoke about elementary school.
Yeah.
But the middle schoolers, that's where things kind of really went chaotic. You had seven teachers, each with seven different ways to how to do things online. And then, of course, teachers would change at the end of each quarter. You know, they changed so-called electives. So it was really hard to keep up physically with just what are they doing?
Yeah.
Because, you know, well, this teacher, you had to go through all this pathway to get to what's going on with the lesson plan. This teacher kept it over here. It was a nightmare. But with some of the history that my kids were being taught, it was skewed.
Yeah.
And that was like the first cute clue. And like I had,
it's like world history, U.S. history.
It was U.S. history. And I'd had inklings that things aren't all up and up for
yeah.
a while,
yeah.
but long before COVID, but I didn't have any proof, and I yeah. want to believe the best in people.
Sure.
And you know, the teachers that my kids had are great, but the teachers don't necessarily have the control over what the curriculum is mm-hmm. that they teach. A lot of that is, you know, yes, there's a state level guidelines, but that's adopted by the school board.
Yeah.
The school board's ultimately responsible for that. And one of the things, it was just how they presented the settlers migrating west, and they called them white invaders.
Really? That's what they called them?
Yeah, in one of my kids' classes. And I'm just...
White invaders.
Right. And it's hard to get, you know, anybody who has a middle schooler, that 12, 13,
yeah.
14, 15... try and get them to talk about anything, let alone specifics
yeah.
as to what's going in class,
right.
You're not going to get that to happen. So it was an eye-opener. I, you know, really wasn't expecting it to be quite that bad. But a lot of it was also what they were omitting.
Mm.
You know, we talked about it a little bit offline that
yeah.
you know, they don't know what the Constitution is. They haven't read the Constitution. They don't know some of the basic amendments. My third grader still doesn't know what the Revolutionary War is. I'm
yeah,
having
wow.
to talk to her about it. She's in third grade.
Yeah, that's crazy.
By the time I was in third grade, not only did I know what the Revolutionary War, I'd probably been to a half dozen battlegrounds
right, yes.
across the country. So, you know, it's not just what they are teaching, it's what they are not
right.
teaching. They're not
what they're admitting.
Teaching the basics of what our country's foundation is.
So did that, coming face to face with that kind of radicalism, and I don't have a problem using that word because that's what it is. It's agenda driven. It's a totally different worldview than ours. And over time, with kids going through the system from kindergarten to 12th grade, they're marinating in that. They don't have the wisdom or the discernment to know
right.
what's coming in. Parents are ignorant. They don't know. And I'm not using that word in an ugly way. But that's what's happening. And that's shifting their worldview and their belief system right.
right
underneath their feet. It's changing their operating system or putting in the operating system of the progressives.
Right.
And we don't really know it because it's incremental.
Right. And part of this is one of my issues with the school board and the budget that they have passed. We've got $5 million for textbooks. And I asked them, what textbooks? My children have been in the school system since 2012, and I have not seen one textbook.
Wow.
In fact, one of my friends who's running for—
They don't bring anything home.
They don't ever bring anything
home.
Because
it's all, what, virtual?
It's all supposedly virtual. Everything's a worksheet. And if they're spending $5 million on those little math workbooks, We need a new contract negotiator because they're not spending money wisely.
That's a joke.
Because, that's really a joke. But they've thrown out textbooks, and there's no cause for that, and they're brand new. And it's hard for parents to know where what their kids are learning and where they are without having a textbook or something to refer to. And I'm not talking about objecting to what they're learning. I'm learning to know what they're learning because then I can, at the dining room table, ask them a constructive question. Hey, I see you guys read about turtles today.
At least you can interact with what's happening.
And I can interact.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. I never have been able to. It's been really tough. Once again, back to the teens who don't like to say anything to a
parent.
Yeah,
they're not going to come home and dump all this stuff on the
share. So it's hard to get those conversations going as a parent. And it's been horrible trying to figure out where they are and how to help them. And especially my kids' elementary school, when my boys were probably in like fourth or fifth grade, they made a big deal about no more homework. Now I really don't know what's going on.
Yes, right. Because nothing's coming home.
I really don't.
Literally.
I have no idea
You're locked
what's going
out.
On.
Which is one of the issues we're going to talk about is board transparency, parental rights, and quality education. Was there one thing, Becky, we're talking to Becky Lou Hobbs. She's running for District 4 here in Wake County School Board races this fall. Becky4wake.com. That's the number 4. Was there one moment, or is there something that crystallized that you're like, okay, I'm done just dealing with this at home. I'm done sending emails. I'm going to run.
Well, that was a little slow start there. It first got me to the school board meetings. You know, Keith Sutton wasn't responding. To my inquiries.
Yeah.
Okay, so I show up to the school board, and first time I went, I got the golden ticket to speak. You know, because they limited the speakers and limited attendance. That's a completely different topic there. And I would address the board, and you just get this stone.
Yeah.
The wall,
nothing,
no response. They don't at the next meeting respond to any of the speakers. They just use that time to pat themselves on the back about what big accomplishments they made and, oh, I saw you over here at this show or whatever, and not really give any kind of feedback.
How many times have you appeared before the Wake County School Board?
I'd have to maybe a dozen or
okay, more. Okay, so in a dozen or more times, how many questions did they ask you?
Zilch.
None. No interaction whatsoever.
Nope.
They just sit there, listen to you, whiny, pain in the rear mom, and which makes them look good because at least they're quote-unquote listening.
Right.
But no interaction, no accountability. You're done. You leave. Nothing changes.
Right.
Which is why you're running.
Which is why I'm running.
Becky4wake.com. We're going to keep talking to Becky Lou Hobbs. We'll dive into these four main issues and how we can all support and get behind her. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. You can also join us on Facebook or YouTube at the Steve Noble page there. Podcast, by the way, if you, what most of us are used to now, it's like the old Burger King commercial. Becky Lou probably remembers this. Becky Lou Hobbs will remember this. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way.
Yes.
Now we get anything we want, whenever we want, wherever we want. Mm-hmm. So live radio, live television, most of us are like, I don't care what time it's on. I'll just get the podcast, or I'll watch the video, or I'll go to YouTube later. So if that's you, or you're interested in doing that, you don't have to be here from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The show is out there in all different kinds of ways. You want to watch it at 4 a.m., fine. You can. That's up to you, but available on all the regular podcast channels. Talking to Becky Lou Hobbs today, who is running for the Wake County School Board, District 4, which is the eastern part of Raleigh and parts of Nightdale, where our the love of our lives from a gastro perspective, Prime Barbecue is out there, and that's where I think we met at Prime Barbecue.
We met at Prime Barbecue.
Was that for a Fred Von Cannon event?
Yes, it was.
And then I talked to you about this before, and then I want to get into these main issues that you're running on. These are very important. And by the way, Becky graduated from Cary High School. She's been in the system for a long time. She has three kids that have been in the public school system, so she's a concerned parent that's gone from being a concerned parent to running for office. And I asked you that question as we were running out of time. Is that like kind of what got you to the point? You said you were going to the school board. They're cold faced. There's no interaction. There's no response. There's no real accountability there at all, it seems.
Right.
And so was that the thing that put you over the line combined with what you were seeing in the classroom?
Well, it was that. And for the past, I believe it's three elections, nobody had run against Keith Sutton.
Yeah, no challenge.
So I started asking around going, please, is somebody going to run? I'll be your biggest supporter. I'll figure out how to campaign. And the reply was always like, oh, you'd be a great candidate. And I'm like,
I got a full-time job and three kids and a husband.
Right. And don't forget the two cats.
And the two cats.
So going after around that and honestly praying over it. And I'll just say people were delivering words to me that was confirming things in my own prayer time.
Knock, knock. That
coincided. And I knew that that's the way I had to go, whether I wanted to or not. And so I started trying to get better at speaking and figuring out really, you know, how to do this and, you know, try and get into, okay, well, what's wrong? What are we going to focus on?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot wrong. We can't fix everything.
And this really is, I mean, God made you a certain way.
Right.
And so you mentioned this before we went on the air. That you're, and I think you mentioned it while we're on the air on a commercial break. You're kind of a fixer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see the chaos and you find a way through it. If our school system at the Wake County School Board itself and the school system itself isn't involved in chaos, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need fixers. Mm-hmm. And it helps to have a fixer that has the right worldview and has kids in the – you've had kids in the system, so you're invested.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it yourself. You have firsthand knowledge. And I'm pretty sure you have no interest in being a part of the bureaucracy. So then you make the decision to run. And how's the how's that been in terms of just support and people encouraging you and coming alongside of you? What's that been
it
like?
It was really scary at first because, you know, I have a great career and I love my job and I love where I work and I didn't want to give it up. And that was really my one of my biggest fears. So when I went to talk to my employer about it, she was very supportive.
Wow.
And it's like, you go for it. And
wow.
we'll work around your schedule.
What a blessing.
Yeah, a tremendous blessing. Because, you know, with my job, you know, never in a million years did I think that I was going to be able to work with people that were in Canada and in Europe and in Korea from all over the world.
Yeah, cool.
It was, it's really is cool to be able to, to work with all these different people from like that.
Very rewarding.
Yeah, very rewarding. And, you know, it wasn't on my original life plan. You know, if my life plan, my life has turned out very different from what I planned.
God's got a good sense of humor. He laughs at us.
Definitely. Yeah.
Sure, Becky.
He laughed at my plans. Over here.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why, you know, it was a progress. It wasn't a all of a sudden, I'm running. It was a slow progression.
Yeah.
And then making sure that, I have a husband and three kids. I had to talk to my husband and say, are you okay with me doing this? And he's like, yes. And, you know, he is not the kind of person that you're going to see because,
he's on the other side of the glass.
He is from
too.
The theatrical business.
Yeah.
You will not see him. He disappears into the work very well.
Yeah.
But, you know, he is back there, you know, supporting me. My kids are supporting me in what I'm doing and my family.
Yeah.
It's been great.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I want everybody to realize is when people like Becky step up to the plate, what's at stake here? Because obviously you have your own three children that have been in the system, but there's all your neighbors' children.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a subject and a reality that is encompasses the entire
75%
nation.
75% of our students in Wake County go to the public school system.
That's right.
So as the children go, so will go the country. So these kids
take
that are in the system
around.
Now,
that's right.
You know, in 15 years, they're going to be the ones that are going to be our leaders,
that's
our
right.
politicians, our attorneys, our doctors, professionals, tradesmen. What they're teaching
that's
now,
right.
you know.
That's right.
You can almost think of it in a selfish way as like, I want these people to be nice when I'm older and can't do things as like I could when I was younger.
I want
younger.
Them to be critical thinkers.
Oh, yeah.
I want them to know the basics of the country's existence, its operation, its history, and be able to contribute as citizens. I don't want them indoctrinated, which is what's happening. I want them taught. Teach them how to think, critical thinking skills, not what to think.
Right, exactly. And I can just see from my kids that they don't have the critical thinking skills that I think they should have at their age.
That's right.
So, you know, we did talk a little bit about before, just because of things that were happening, the COVID protocols at the school, you know, forced my kids in that school year out a lot. I ended up for this past school year, I pulled two of my three children out of the school system. And yes, now I know there's a difference between homeschooling and setting them in front of a computer to watch stuff. It's a very different journey.
And the thing about homeschooling, and this is one of your 4 points, the four main points, quality education, parental rights, fiscal responsibility, and board transparency, quality education. When you're doing a homeschooling thing, whether you do it for a couple of years or for years like we did, you go pick the quality education.
Mm-hmm.
You have options. You have choices. You go shopping.
Right.
But when you're in the public school system, you don't shop.
Right.
It's one store and one product. And that's it. So
and
talk about that, the quality education.
Well, the the school is supposed to deliver a quality education. That's what's in our Constitution. That's what's in our law. And it's not happening. If you look at the scores, this is more than just COVID. When you look at the third grade reading scores, which is the foundation for mm-hmm. our child's education, even 10 years ago, over a third of the kids were not proficient in third grade reading.
Wow.
So from birth to third grade, kids are learning to read. And from third grade on, they're reading so they can learn. And if they can't read,
that's right,
they can't progress in their learning
skills.
There's
no foundation.
There's no foundation. And that's what the public school, you know, that through the 12th grade, it's supposed to provide them that good quality, solid educational foundation.
Yep.
So they can choose to go to college, or they can choose to go to a trade school, or they can choose just to go start a business
their own,
whatever they want. And it's not happening.
Yeah, that's such a big deal. And then instead of a quality education, they have a worldview indoctrination that they call education.
Right. And they're passing children through. So the Wake County brags at its more than 90% graduation rate. Well, I question that's even an actual graduation rate.
Right.
You know, one of the things, once again, with my personal experience, my children, some of my kids failed English and they were passed to the next grade.
Jeez.
With no extra support.
Nothing.
And then they were passed. The same thing happened the next year. And it just kept compounding. So, you know, right now my oldest child really is more of an eighth grade reading English level, not the 10th grade that he should be at. So if they're doing this to my child, they're doing this to other children.
It's the norm.
And that's one of the problems. When you look at the policies of the Wake County school system, it's up to the principal as to what makes a child gets a child to advance to the next grade. Mm. Well, you have over 190 schools with 190 principals, which means you have 190 opinions about how to do that.
Yeah.
It's a little bit inconsistent.
Yeah. Wow.
They need to have a little more guidelines than that.
Yeah. And again, it's setting our children up to fail.
Right. It is setting them up to fail.
But it keeps them in their six-figure job, right? All the people in the bureaucracy.
Exactly.
So that's obviously a massive problem. And then parental rights, which you talked about, and that was one of the linchpins of what got you here, is you go to the school board meetings, but like, what parental rights do we need?
Well, we need to be able to be involved. I had difficulty even before COVID being involved in my kids' education. Just getting there, you had to pre-schedule things. I never had the freedom just to say, hey, I got off today, so I'm going to go in and see how I can help.
Yeah.
You know, there was none of that going on. I would always have to schedule in advance. Then as COVID came, of course, parents, you know, it's COVID. You can't come on campus.
Right.
Well, I come to find out that, no, I can't volunteer. But NCAE members were allowed to volunteer in my child's school. And I'm like, wait a minute, me – the parent of I'm a parent is not allowed there, but some stranger who pays this union fee or whatever they call it is allowed to help my child. This doesn't fly.
No.
And just even how the buildings are kept. And I know my exposure is just with the schools of my kids have gone to. But how to get into the schools, it's like entering a prison.
Yeah.
And
sure.
I know we need security.
Sure, absolutely.
That's very important.
Yep.
But you know, I still, even at the end of the school year, to get check my child out of school, you know, you had to ring the doorbell, show your ID, and they come out.
Yeah.
I was never actually allowed to go
allowed
into
to go
the
in.
Office.
Yeah, and that was the hidden blessing of COVID.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden the school came into your house.
Right.
And you start to being exposed like you were, and all of a sudden finding out about the people heading west back in the 1800s were white invaders.
Right.
Some of them were dirtbags.
Oh.
That's provable.
That's never going to go away.
No. Yeah, it's just remarkable. We got a lot more to talk to about with Becky Lou Hobbs. We'll be right back.
Angels
welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're here today with Becky Lou Hobbs. She's running for the Wake County School Board, District 4. Her website is becky4wake.com. Becky4, that's the number 4wake.com. And you can find out about her background, work experience, and she has three children that have been in the school system. She's been involved, goes to school board meetings, and then enough was enough. And then you got to – we all do that, Becky, by the way. We're all like, hey, you should run. You should run. Somebody else should run. And then we look for somebody else. And then sooner or later, sometimes the Lord just puts his finger – on your head and you realize, okay, this is something I'm supposed to do. And it's a matter of being a faithful person and then leave the results up to him. I mean, it was for me personally, it was a Sunday in March of 2004 after a series at our church for a while and then a revival service, which I had never been around. And then that Sunday, Do you feel the Lord's moving you in some direction? If you do, write it down on the response card. Be careful with those things. And put it on the altar, right? And so I literally wrote down to be more outspoken for God's truth in the public arena. And we were homeschoolers. I was running a house painting company. Mm-hmm. All right? I had been teaching adult Sunday school at our church. But that was it. And then literally 3 weeks later, I led a group, me and a buddy led a group of about 350 people into a Raleigh City Council chambers. That was April of 2004. Mm. Call to Action was born. November of 2007, I'm on the radio, and here we are all these years later. Mm-hmm. Because I just said, okay, I suppose I should do something about these things that I complain about all the mm-hmm. time. Never knowing, never thinking that it would actually change my life.
Didn't know he was preparing you for battle.
Exactly right. But here I am, here you are, mm-hmm. and thank you and thank God for you, Becky, that you're willing to do this. Mm-hmm. And you have a supportive husband and supportive kids, and now you've got a growing support around the community, and mm-hmm. praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
And God called you to it. What happens in the end? That's his deal?
That's up to him. I'm doing what he wants me to do.
However, that being said, mm-hmm. As voters in a free republic, we all have a responsibility. And I'll tell people, and I don't know many pastors that are willing to say this. I haven't met any, not that are willing to say it on the air. I actually think it's a sin to not vote. Because I think when you live in a country like America, when all the laws, like we're talking about today, all the things that happen with the Wake County School Board, which affects all these children all over the county. How many kids do we have in the school system here?
About just shy of 160,000 in the public school system.
Okay, 160,000 kids in Wake County public schools. And those are 160,000 of your neighbors. Mm-hmm. So to not care what's happening to them is a violation of neighbor love, which is a violation of God love, both of which are a sin.
Right.
I'm like, that's not even common core math. That's really simple. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm sitting. So don't just say, oh, well, God will take care of it. Yes, God will take care of it, but he utilizes people like me and Becky and you. So make sure you're registered and make sure you get out and vote and do your homework mm-hmm. and make sure you're going to vote for people that are going to go in there and serve our children and your neighbor's children well. And that's why it's just thank you, Becky, mm-hmm. for doing this.
Well, it's so easy nowadays to find out about the candidates.
Isn't it?
You know, you can go online.
Everybody's
online.
You can
print out a sample ballot. You can, from there, figure out what everybody's websites
yep.
are. And if you don't even actually try and go find a candidate event, at least you can go yeah. look at their website.
And when we say parental rights, that's just give me easy access. Because you were saying it's like a rabbit trail just to find out what your
right.
kids are learning.
Right, yeah. It's to be involved. You know, my children are still my children.
Yep.
They're not a ward of the state.
Amen.
So I am part of the education process
Amen.
Of my child. I'm not to be excluded. And I don't think any parent should be excluded.
That's right.
You know.
And whether hey, listen, if you're a hardcore liberal atheist, you should have as much access
right.
to what's going on in the classroom as we do.
Exactly. So, they need to be involved.
Yeah.
And I will be the first one out there to protect their rights to be involved. But to exclude me because you mm-hmm. don't like how I believe and what my faith is in, that's not right.
So when we look at the overall Wake County school system and all of its problems and its indoctrination and all the other stuff and the bureaucracy and all that mess – does it really all come down to the school board?
The school board is the one that creates the policies. The school board is the one that directs the budget and how it's going to be spent and who it's going to be spent on. So, yes,
yeah.
it really does come to the school board. The school board really is not accountable to anyone, as mm-hmm. we found out with what happened when they tried to appoint somebody to the district court position.
Yeah, what happened?
Reside there.
Didn't reside in the district.
He did not reside in the district. He actually – his address was actually in a district further north. But then after things came to light, it found out that he wasn't even residing in the county, let alone
– Golly.
Yeah. So it was a mess. The board never acknowledged – that they messed up badly, because it's really not hard to run a background check on anybody
yes.
these days.
Yes.
I mean, that's part of when you hire somebody is to run a background check. So that was gross negligence on,
yeah.
on the part of the board that they didn't do that. They never apologized. They never publicly acknowledged it. There was a formal a complaint done, and it was pretty much ignored. But the North Carolina – Catherine Truitt, she didn't have the authority to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's part of it's a little bit of a problem is the school board has no accountability to anybody other than the voters.
Right.
So that is why it is so important mm-hmm. to vote. And one of the things that's going to be different is they're changing to staggered terms. The terms are going to be coming 4 years. So this election cycle, all of the seats are up for election.
Wow. Yeah.
Some are 2 year seats, some are 4 year seats.
Which is an incredible opportunity.
Right. Yeah. So the District 4 is a 2 year seat. But there are others that are four-year seats, so they're not going to be right. in the 2024 election. They're going to stay on the board, but then there's going to be a certain cycle. Yeah,
but this is a great opportunity that we've been handed.
Right.
To literally, we have to take control of the school board.
Exactly.
There's no other way to put it. You don't have to dance around that.
Right.
It just is what it is.
It's I don't, even if it was a liberal-minded, it's just they're not taking into account what parents
right.
parents want to be involved in their child.
Yeah.
If you don't agree with their party line, you're to be excluded.
You're out.
And I don't agree with that. I think disagreement is a good thing.
Absolutely.
It brings a lot of things to
it's
light.
What this country's built on.
So just excluding somebody because you disagree with their point of view is extremely right. selfish.
So when you say this is one of your four big points on your website, Becky4Wake.com, board transparency, what all's involved in that? Unpack that for us. In 4 minutes.
I'll try. Well,
you can come back again. So don't worry about that. We can do part two.
Yeah. How to phrase this nicely.
Just tell the truth. I don't care if it's nice.
Okay. They do so much, and it's behind, I'll say behind closed doors. Yes, yeah. They appear public, but they have everything is preset. When you watch the meetings, there's no disagreement. They're all so uniform in
yeah,
thought.
Yeah.
There's only one way. There's two ways that can happen. They've had meetings ahead of time in private that people don't know what's going on and have discussed the matters and already come to their conclusions. Or we have eight idiots on the board and only one person that thinks. And
yeah.
and they all follow that one person.
Right. Those are the
two options that
yeah.
I see.
Man. Yeah. And so like you mentioned, you've appeared before the board over 12 times and ask you how many questions did they ask you? And the answer to that is zero.
Right. Right.
So they just go through the motions. They don't really.
They go through.
They're not listening.
They go through the motions, and one of the things, Keith Sutton never once made an appearance on any of my children's school ever, and of course, with me speaking from the board knows exactly where my children go to school. So when they did finally appoint the new person for our area, I'm not going to give her publicity by saying her name.
Yes, good.
But what schools did she go visit? My children's school. She made a really big deal about it, too.
Yeah. Whoop-de-doo.
Really? Yeah, whoop-de-doo. But I'm like, really? That's so transparent.
Yeah.
But they're making all these decisions behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And then when you try and weave through, I've done so many information requests, and they are so resistant to really giving you the information that you want.
Gosh, I
and,
wonder
you know,
why.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, okay, we have almost $50 million attributed to contracts. And I asked them for that information, and they're not providing it. And that's all the responsibility of the board. Yes,
yeah.
There's a person that's assigned to that. But that is the responsibility of the board to make sure that information
is
publicly
available. Yeah, that's
not
a private corporation. They work
right,
for us.
Right. And well, that was another thing when they said, oh, we're like a Fortune 500 company. I was like, well, if you're a Fortune 500
oh,
company.
No.
That was one of the things Sutton said on his way out the door. And I was like, I don't work for a Fortune 500 company, but I do work for a corporation, and you don't even qualify for low end
right.
of the totem pole.
Jeez.
I hate to
Isn't
tell
that
you.
Amazing. Ridiculous. So what would a good, healthy board look like with respect to transparency and interaction with parents?
A board that is transparent would be one that actually meets and talks with its constituents, not with its select group of
yeah.
people. You know, when I am elected, I want to be able to meet regularly with members of District 4.
Not like have a town hall meeting,
right,
let them talk.
Right, not just a board advisory committee and that, you know, yes, I can sit and watch, but I really can't participate. I want to talk to people that not only live in that district, but their kids go to school in that district. Because that is something that voters do struggle with is, well, I live over here, but my kids go to school in your
right,
district.
Right.
I can't vote for you. And I was like, I'm sorry, no. That's
yeah,
just
that's
not
crazy.
How it works.
Yeah.
That it just doesn't work that way. So it's really important to listen to everybody. And that is important because I do want to listen to everybody.
Sure.
Because, yes, I'm going to go by my beliefs and my faith, but I want to hear what everybody is saying. And no, I'm not going to go against anything in my foundational values, but if there's enough people that are like, no, we want this, we want this, I'm going to listen to
yeah,
them because that's
listen.
My job as a representative
that's right.
to represent – the 80,000 plus voters in my district.
And allow for the conversation to happen.
Right.
Even
and
if it's going to be uncomfortable and negative.
Right. Because the board they're not doing that.
Yeah, that's right.
Right now,
totally
everybody is doing that, and they try and shut you down. You know, they've called us vocal groups. They've done all of these little.
Well, the FBI things. Would say that you're basically a domestic terrorist.
Proud domestic terrorist here.
How can we help you?
You can help by going to my website and filling out. There's multiple ways. There's donation. We need money to get the word out, of course. And we also need volunteers so we can help get the word out as well. It's always.
And then make sure you know where you live inside the Wake County School Board system. And if you're in District 4, the vote.
Yep.
They got to vote. Becky4wake.com is the website. Becky, B-E-C-K-Y, 4, the number 4, wake.com. Becky4wake.com. Becky, thanks so much for coming in today. It's great having you on. Okay. Thank you for running. Mm-hmm. Thank you for standing on these issues, and thanks for engaging, not just for your own kids, but for everybody's kids.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We'll do it again. And we'll continue to have these conversations between now and November, and you will rue the day that you met me if you're not out there praying for those in authority over us, but especially voting as well. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.